This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The second round of NAFTA renegotiations started today down in Mexico City. Talks are supposed to last until Tuesday unless President Trump pulls the U.S. out of the trade deal before then. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but the president has said more than once in the past week or so that that's what he's planning to do if things don't go the way he wants. NAFTA is probably the best example of the trade agenda in the Trump administration. America first is the phrase that they like to use. Thing is, free trade's never been an easy sell for the American people, because workers, in manufacturing mostly, but others as well, are the ones who take the biggest hit when jobs leave for cheaper labor somewhere else. But recognizing the human cost of globalization has never been our strong suit, as Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
First, let's listen to this exchange from a 2004 episode of The West Wing.
Do you ever wonder if we forget the human face of trade, the blood and muscle?
You have to go with what grows the economy for everyone. There's blood and muscle in India, too.
Yeah.
That defense of free trade, that it increases prosperity overall, is something you might have heard from Marina Wittmann in the 1970s when she was an economic advisor to Richard Nixon.
There was a lot of concern in those days about competition from the Japanese.
As an executive at GM in the 80s, Wittmann still advocated for free trade, even when a flood of imports threatened the American auto industry. She still believes, but says the U.S. has neglected the human costs.
What we didn't pay enough attention to was the fact that while the winners were widely spread, for the losers, it tended to be very up close and personal.
Wittmann is now 82 years old and still teaches at the University of Michigan. She says the country hasn't done enough for the people who've lost their jobs to global trade. Government retraining programs are all well-intended, but over the years, they've been criticized as fragmented, too restrictive, and stingy.
We have always tended to be less generous to the losers from any particular change than most other industrialized countries.
And that, Wittmann says, has helped fuel the current blowback to free trade. At least one powerful group actually anticipated the kind of backlash we're witnessing today. In the early 70s, the Chamber of Commerce created a task force on how to compensate workers who lose jobs to global trade. The program in place at the time was so narrow that in the first 6 years, not a single American worker qualified. Economist Fred Bergston, now 76, chaired that chamber task force. He remembers the day he delivered his proposals to the chamber's board of directors.
So I entered their sanctum, their boardroom, took the podium. I presented our report. Very, very vigorous debate ensued.
Bergston's report called for more money for more workers, relocation assistance, even money for communities affected by plant closures. But while the plan was great for workers, it created problems for some industries in that chamber boardroom. If the government could really cushion the blow for, say, steel workers who lost jobs to foreign competition, that would make the loss of steel jobs less of a big deal and weaken steel companies' argument for protectionist trade barriers. Bergston says even some free traders in the room worried that a bigger federal program would just draw unwanted attention to the number of Americans losing jobs to trade.
To me, that was dramatic, and we've seen that more or less in the 40-plus years since, where politicians who support free trade are often unwilling to draw the logical inference that you have to take care of the losers if you're going to sustain the free trade politically.
Congress did end up expanding benefits for laid-off workers, but over the years, it's been a half-hearted effort. Edward Alden is author of Failure to Adjust, How Americans Got Left Behind in the Global Economy. Alden says retraining eventually was reduced to a kind of bargaining chip in free trade deals.
Thrown out as a kind of carrot to try to buy the votes of a handful of Democrats.
Who worried about backlash from unions. Organized labor has always had mixed feelings about retraining. Unions prefer to focus on preserving the jobs that still exist. But Alden says unions did provide baseline support.
As the unions have weakened, there simply is no effective lobby pushing for stronger workforce support and training programs.
Essentially, retraining and other aid for dislocated workers has never enjoyed a passionate political constituency, which has led to limited support in Congress, which has led to smaller and less effective programs, which has helped fuel resentment against free trade. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.